We're going to go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, this wonderful chapter here, looking at Israel's present life. Chapter 9, of course, dealt with Israel's past. Chapter 10 is Israel's present. And chapter 11, we'll look at Israel's future. But of course, when you look at Israel's present, what they need to heed today is the same thing you need to heed, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same way they get saved is the same way that you'll be saved. Amen. And as I was going through this chapter, there's so many different things that we could have talked about. We looked already at the desire for Israel's salvation from the Apostle Paul. We looked at the deduction of Israel's salvation, looking at why it is that they aren't saved. They have a zeal without knowledge. They're not submitting to the righteousness of God. They have a righteousness, but it's not the right righteousness. It's got to be by faith and faith alone. We looked at the completion of that righteousness or that salvation is that Jesus Christ made an end for righteousness by the law. Amen. So there's no way you're going to get to heaven by the law and doing the right things of the law. It has to be imputed to you. And last week we looked at the dialogue where it says, what does faith say? Amen. What it says and what it does not say. And we looked at that a little bit. And today, what I'm going to look at is the development of faith for salvation. The development of faith for salvation. And I know I'm sometimes a little methodical in the way I think. And so my wife always tells me, you need to come up with better titles. I says, I know, but my brain just doesn't work that way. Some preachers, they come up with some really interesting things. And to me, it's just always, you know. Anyways, you'll get the point as we get through this. But Romans chapter 10, verse number 14, it says this. It says, how then shall they call on him? Because remember what verse 13 says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And that call is not an ongoing call. I talk to people sometimes when I go to their door and I say, you need to pray to receive Christ. And they say, well, we pray all the time. But that's not this kind of call. When it says, whosoever shall call, there's a one-time call that comes from your heart, a heart of belief and trust that Jesus Christ paid for your sin, that he rose up from the grave, and you call to him in the need of salvation. And that's a one-time call. You don't have to repeat that. If you're being taught that you got to keep calling for salvation, I'm sorry, that's not the meaning of that word call. The tense of that word is aorist tense, which means it's something that has happened once in the past. Amen. So whosoever shall call, that means you've done it once. Maybe you don't remember when that was, or maybe you were a child or whatever. But all I know is the first time you called out of a believing heart that Jesus Christ paid for your sins and rose from the dead, that is the day that you were saved. That's the day you were born again, regenerated. Amen. And I know sometimes we lose our security of our salvation, and we got to work through that. And I encourage you to always work through what you need to work through. But I just want you to know it's not a bunch of calls. It's one call that saves you. Amen. When you call to the Lord out of a believing heart. And so it goes on to say, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just ask, Lord, that you would help me as I bring this message out today, that you would take control. And Lord, help us where we are. Lord, maybe it's something I'm not even preaching about. I pray that you would just minister to the people in this church, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the next few verses here, what we're seeing is we're seeing the development of faith. There is a process here. Nobody was born knowing God or knowing about God or knowing about salvation or knowing the way of salvation. Every one of you found out through revelation, through God's revelation, the word of God. Everything God does is in order. He's a very orderly Lord. Amen. And it's beneficial to us to see in this passage the order that he has listed here. At first, I went through it backwards because it's interesting when you look at it backwards. And I started at the back and I worked up and I thought that would be interesting. But I says, I may confuse people. Amen. So I decided to go frontwards. And so we're going to start at the first verse there and move down. The first thing I want you to see is this, that you got to believe before you call. That's what it says there. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Yeah. Folks, I've talked to a lot of people. They say, I've called on the Lord. But you know what? You got to believe first. You first have to believe. And believing is trusting that Jesus Christ did it all for you. There's a verse here in Romans 10:16. It says, for they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So you won't obey the gospel if you don't believe. Yeah, so believing is important here. And so you got to believe before you call. And so, like I said before, you know, a lot of folks, they think that if they just pray all the time that God's somehow going to hear them. But folks, I'll tell you something. Praying alone does not save your soul.
Amen.
Well, I remember when I prayed. Well, praying is good. And if you prayed from a believing heart, that's wonderful. But before you call, you got to believe. Amen. And that's why I'm very careful when I tell people to go out and we maybe knock on doors or we put a gospel tract to give one to somebody, that we make sure that they understand the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection before we just start praying with people. Just pray this prayer. I've heard people say that. If you pray this prayer, you'll go to heaven. But folks, that's not true. According to this scripture, it says you have to believe before you call. The calling is just simply an expression of the believing heart. But everything that comes out of your mouth comes from your heart first, amen? So you can't promote a prayer and not have a believing heart behind it. What you may end up doing is just giving this person a false sense of security that somehow they're saved when really they're not. And that's not what we need to do here. We need to make sure people understand what it means to be saved. In 1 Peter 4:17, it says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? See, we live in a lot of people say, boy, it's tough going to church sometimes. I mean, the world is a lot easier on me than the church is. Well, I'll tell you something, that may be true, because the judgment begins in the house of God. That means because we are born again and saved here today, we believe what the Bible says. And the Bible guides us to make changes in our life and to do those things that we need to do. And you know, not only that, we've got a great responsibility as a church. We've got to reach this world. And it's not going to happen if we're holding hands with the world, we're loving sin, and we're living in immorality and all these things. We have to judge ourselves. We really do. And so we teach that to people. Judge yourself, lest you be judged, the Bible says. Amen. So the Bible tells us that we have a special responsibility as a church to judge ourselves. That's the dispensation we're in today. You know, you have this opportunity to judge yourself so that when you meet the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, you can have a good old time there. Amen. You can get your rewards. You can be blessed. You can be happy. You don't have to be ashamed at him at his coming. Like the Bible says, many will be ashamed when he comes. But if we judge ourselves, then we won't be ashamed. I believe there will be Christians that will be able to look Jesus Christ straight in the eye when they see him for the first time. And I also believe there are some Christians that won't look him straight in the eye. Now, they're just as saved because your salvation wasn't dependent upon all the things that you do. But the Lord has given us this privilege and this dispensation that we've been called to above all other times of history. That he's given you the ability with the indwelling power of the Spirit of God. You've got the Word of God in front of your face. You've got no excuse not to live the way the Lord wants you to live. Not to go to heaven, but because you are going to heaven. It should motivate us. Amen? So the Bible says if we got to judge ourselves here, what's going to be the end of those that don't obey the gospel? It's all about judgment, folks. But yet the world today is saying, oh, no judge. Folks, if we're not going to judge, we don't do anything for God. How are we going to reach souls if we don't judge ourselves? How are we going to reach people if we're not a light, if we're full of darkness? Amen. We've got to intensify the light in our life, not bring it down, not make it darkness. And folks, we don't become darkness to reach the darkness. We shine the light into the darkness. Amen. So you got to believe before you call. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, you got to hear before you believe. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? It's amazing. I talk to people sometimes and they're telling me about they're going to heaven. But I said, well, when did you hear the gospel? And then they don't have a time that they've heard. Yeah. I said, then how are you going to heaven? Sure, you got to call upon the name of the Lord. But before you call, you got to believe. And before anybody believes, they have heard. Yeah. They have heard with our ears and not just our physical ears, because you can be deaf and still hear. You got to hear with your spiritual ears. That's why Jesus said many times, let he who hath ears, let him hear. Amen. Yeah. It doesn't say that everybody's walking around with no ears. Everybody had physical ears on their head. They all heard the syllables and the sounds and so forth. But only some of them said, hey, I want to understand this. I want to hear with understanding. I want to give myself to this, not running away from the truth, but running towards the truth. That's why the Bible says in the book of John, chapter 3, it says, for this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. They do. And the Bible says that if you love the light, you'll go to the light, that your deeds may be reproved. That's how I know. Folks, I'm just going to continue to preach the word of God for what it says. And there'll be those of you that say, I don't like that preacher. And there'll be those of you that say, I love that preacher. What's the difference between those that love it and those that hate it? So sometimes, you know, and I got to apologize. Maybe sometimes I turn the light up a little bit too bright on a Sunday morning. You know, well, preacher, that light's for a Sunday night and a Wednesday night. But Sunday morning, that's a little bit too bright. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If I turn on that spotlight on you today, you're going to reveal who you are. Amen. The Bible says you will either go to the light or are you going to hate the light, lest your deeds should be reproved. I don't need anybody judging me. It's like that one guy who went to the corner store and he picked up a six-pack of something and he put it in his back of his car and he drove down the highway. And just a couple miles later, the police came up behind him and pulled him over and said, hey, I think I saw you put alcohol in your car. He said, no, sir, I just bought a six-pack of Coca-Cola. Go ahead and look. Amen. Go ahead and look. And he went and looked and said, oh, yeah, you're right. See, he had no problems. There was no running. There was no hiding. There's no, oh, you don't got the right to look. You don't got, there was simply, go ahead and look. Amen. Nothing to hide. Do you understand that, folks? We're living in an age here today where everybody's running from the light and they're using their rights as an excuse not to submit to the light of the Lord. But folks, if you love the light, you will go towards the light because you want your deeds to be reproved. You're saying at the end of all this, you know what? It matters to me whether I can look in the eyes of my Savior and do what He has asked me to do. Yeah. You understand that? This isn't about being judged by others or somebody being better than me or so forth. We've got to live by faith, which means that our faith brings us to the end. Your faith is not about how much you believe. It's about how long you believe. That's a dimension of faith. We're living in a day today where people say, oh, I have much faith. Look what I'm doing today. I'll tell you this, I'll say you have much faith at the end when through all the trials and the hurts and the sufferings and the persecutions and everything that you had to go through for the cause of Christ, you kept yourself pointing forward and there were times your faith was that thin. There's times your faith was that wide, but all you know is your faith went right to the end. Hey, praise God. That, my friend, is true faith. And if we're going to live our lives as Christians today, we got to live in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in light of meeting him, in light of being judged by him at the judgment seat of Christ, and not be so worried about whether this preacher thinks I'm good or bad, or whether this person says this or that person says that. You just will look over all of that stuff because your faith is beyond that. It's beyond the wide in today. It's the long in tomorrow. Amen. That's the difference. That's how your faith has to be. So you'll convince me how great your faith is when we meet at the judgment seat. No sense in bragging about it beforehand. Amen. Because you got to stick with it till Jesus comes. And I don't care if your faith is so little today. Preacher, I don't know if I can continue going, but you're here. Well, preacher, it's just been so hard, but you're here. That means you're going a little bit further and a little bit further and go another day and another day and keep on going because you know your faith has an end at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Which isn't a judgment of salvation, by the way. It's a judgment of works and reward. It's a judgment of pleasing the Father and pleasing the Son. It's a judgment of receiving the blessings and rewards from all that you have to go through. It's a time of recompense for all that you've lost. Amen. It's a time of being rewarded for all the hurts you have to go through as a Christian. And if you're living the right Christian life, you will lose in this world. But the Bible says great recompense is there. Great recompense. That's faith, my friend. It's hooking that into the nail in the holy place and saying, I'm going to just keep on going. Even though I'm struggling today, I'm going to keep on going. Amen. Even though it hurts, I'm going to keep on going. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, by the way, the word heard, it says, how shall they believe in him and whom they've not heard? The word heard means to hear with attention. So we're here today either listening with attention or we're thinking about our lunch, we're thinking about the turkey, we're thinking about the hamburger. I don't know what you got going on this afternoon. But folks, if we want to grow and we want to be used of God, we got to begin to hear with attention. The Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs, inclining thyself unto wisdom. We're living in a day and age of decliners or recliners. Amen. I like the recliner as much as the next guy. Sunday afternoon, I'm reclining. Amen. Yeah. But you know, during church time, I'm inclining.
Yes.
I like the way some of you are sitting right now. Like Ron, I like the way you're sitting. That's an incline. Amen.
Trying to get his ears
closed. You know, like, the preacher done yet? Oh, that's not only a recline, but that's a declined.
Yeah.
What we need is some incliners. Some people that sit on the edge of their seat and say, Lord, you got to teach me something today. I need you. My wife needs you. My children need you. My co-workers need you. I need to get something from you so I can be a help.
Amen.
Amen. In Ephesians 1:13, it says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. You haven't trusted in Christ until you've heard. It's amazing. I talk to people and they say, I'm going to heaven. I says, well, when did you hear the gospel? What's the gospel? Well, the Bible says, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So there's nobody that is trusted in Christ who has not first heard the gospel. Now, what's the gospel? I've heard some people say, it's the whole Bible. No, it's not. Even though there's parts of the good news throughout the Bible, but the gospel is very definitive. It's very precise. It, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4, it says it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's the good news. That's the good message. It's three parts, not four. Baptism, no, sir. That's why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 said, he says, I'm so glad that I baptized none of you. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Amen? So why would he say that if baptism was a part of the gospel? But there's people out there that are teaching that somehow you got to be baptized in order to go to heaven. I'm sorry, that's adding a fourth part that ought not be there.
Amen.
Now, I'm a Baptist. Duh, I believe in baptism. But baptism is a part of our religion, not a part of our salvation.
Yeah.
It's a part of our testimony. It's not a part of our salvation to the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
It says, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. After that ye believed. I had one person, I remember I was in this bookstore one time, and this guy, he was a Christian, I have no doubt about it, but he was criticizing, because the King James Bible says, after that you believed. He says, no, when you hear it, you believe it at the same time. Well, according to Scripture, especially if you look at Romans chapter 10, so I just couldn't handle this. I was in Bible college, I was too zealous, is what I was. Because he was telling somebody this, and I said, sir, the Bible's correct, because you only believe after you hear. Wow. You got to be careful what you talk about. So why is that so important? Every word's important.
Yeah.
Not one jot or tittle shall pass away till all is fulfilled. You can't trust Christ until you hear the gospel. Until you willfully give yourself to understand what that means. What is the gospel? What does that mean? If a person doesn't know what the gospel is, how did they hear it? Amen? If they didn't hear it, how did they believe it? And if they didn't believe it, how did they call upon the name of the Lord to be saved? Is what he's telling us here. Isaiah 6:10 says, make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed.
Yeah.
So you can have ears and not hear. Matthew 13:15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are full dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. The heart waxed gross means to become dull or callous from the fatness of life. I got everything, I have no problems, I got everything I need, folks. That really is the issue. You gotta realize you got a need here. You got a need. Number three, there must be a preacher before he can hear the message.
Yeah.
How shall they hear without a preacher? Now we know in the context of Israel, God always sent them prophets over and over. They had no shortage of prophets. No shortage of prophets. They had a shortage of faith. Titus says this in chapter 1, verse 3. It says, but hath in these last times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Like I say, folks, I know today there's a big backlash against the church because sometimes churches don't do the right thing. And sometimes preachers do the wrong thing. But can I tell you something? If you're throwing out the aspect of preaching because of what you've gone through with a preacher, you're throwing out Scripture. That means no matter how you've been treated, if the devil has used that to mess up your head some way and somehow with some preacher in your life, for you to say, I don't need the church anymore, I don't need the preaching, it's a lie. You need it. You need it. You got to stop making lies. Stop doing that. You're falling right into the hands of Satan. Because Satan's in it for the long haul. It's not so much what he's doing in your life right now. This is just the seeds of it. He wants your children. He wants your grandchildren. When he's fighting for you, he's not just fighting for your life. He's fighting for the whole family line. Just one seed of bitterness in your heart can start that process. Well, we don't need a church, and that's why many times home churches are started and so forth. And that's why you got to be careful when somebody says, well, we're a home church. This is the way it's been in the Bible. I'll say, well, how did yours start? I know some churches that started in homes because that's where they had to meet. But it was by God-called preachers. But just because you get disgruntled, you don't go start a church in your home. You don't got the right to do that because the Bible says that he chose preachers.
Yeah, called
And I understand in all, you know, we can all be preachers in some general way, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a whole lot different being called to be a preacher than just preaching. There is a calling today. Acts 8 verse 30 gives us the account of Philip. And it says, and about the Ethiopian eunuch, it says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. See, Philip was a preacher. And God called him. And before this day happened, Philip had a call on his life. And the Holy Spirit says, you need to come with me because there's somebody that needs you. So that's God called. Can you imagine if the Ethiopian eunuch says, oh, I've been hurt by preachers. I don't need you. Well, they're already called for you. Do you understand that? How shall they hear without a preacher? God knows that he uses preaching today. I understand we have the internet. It's amazing. The internet is all over the world. We got more Bible out there than you could possibly imagine. Yet why is it that people are still lost? Why is it that people still do not know the truth? Why is it that people still do not understand? And somehow they think because I've watched YouTube, I understand. I'm sorry, you don't. Because God calls you to a local church and he gives you a preacher, whoever that may be, whatever church you belong to. And he gives God that, gives that man the ability to give you what you need that day. That's why it's a tough thing to exchange that for something else. You ought not do that. You got to think very wisely about this because God calls preachers. How can I accept some man should guide me? I remember I had a guy come in and he would just visit our church in my first ministry and he'd tell me, oh, I don't really need to be here because the Bible says I have anointing and I have no need that any man teach me anything. Well, I says, well, the Bible does say something like that, but I says, I think you're taking it out of context. Because you'd have to discount basically all of the rest of the New Testament and hold on to that verse if that's what you wanted to interpret it by. Amen. What he's telling you is that you have a responsibility because Christ is in you and you have the Holy Spirit of God to grow and to become the Christian that you ought to be. In other words, you can't use the excuse that, oh, nobody's helping me. Yeah. When you're in this situation, it doesn't matter where you are, you have got God this close to you. Amen. Amen. Every minute of every day. And you know what that Holy Spirit's going to tell you? Go to church. Well, my Holy Spirit doesn't. Well, then it's a different Holy Spirit than I have. Because my Holy Spirit follows the scripture. Amen. Be careful that we're living in this day and age where preachers are right. And it's been like this right from the beginning. In fact, in the Old Testament, even Jesus said, you know, the blood of all the prophets is on your hands, Jews. Every time I send you a preacher, you kill him. It's not a great profession, by the way. Amen. Especially in Old Testament days. Because a preacher, what a preacher does is not what's happening today. What a preacher does is simply say, thus saith the Lord. And people don't like thus saith the Lord. They want you to tell them what they want you to say. Yeah. I could be everybody's friend and have you all pat me on the back. Or I can have God as my friend. Amen. And just say, thus saith the Lord. So you have some in your crowd that'll like you, some in your crowd that won't like you. So you're one of these people that need to be stroked all the time. You'll make a pretty bad preacher. You got to deal with those lies in your own heart. Amen. Because when it comes down to it, folks, I just want to meet the Lord and him say, well done, the good and faithful servant. You didn't water down your message because people didn't like you or they wanted this or they wanted that. Now, there is such a thing as not unjustly offending. There is such a thing as being wise and presenting truth. And folks, can I tell you something? I'm just going to put a little plug in here. That's why we have a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Yeah. What's a Sunday morning service? This, my friend, is the milk of the word. Mm-hmm. So whatever you're getting right now, I'm just giving you something easy to digest. Yeah. But you know, we go to Sunday night, there's a little more meat mixed in the diet. Then many times on Wednesday night, you're saying, man, preacher, that's one big steak you gave us today. And that's the way it ought to be. I had one person ask me this week, So you have three services a week. Does that mean you just repeat the services? Because that's what they're used to today, repeating services. No, sir. Because I have a calling of God to bring you folks to a place where you can become mature in Christ. And so I know when people just come into church, usually when they just try church, they can't handle a steak. So if I'm here Sunday morning just throwing steaks at you, somebody that isn't used to that is going to walk out the door and say, I'm just choking here. So I got to get myself a bottle and, you know, say, oh, you're calling us babies? Well, maybe. No, just kidding. I've been there too. Man, if you're choking on this, there's something wrong with your digestive system. Because this is the milk of the word. But tonight, we get a little bit deeper. And that's where if you want to mature and become a stronger Christian, say, I'm going to go to Sunday nights. So all preachers just, why do y'all go to church all the time? Well, they should. If they don't, there's something wrong with your preacher. I'll tell you something. You ask a preacher when they want you to be in church, you'll say, every time I preach the word of God. Because that's like asking a shepherd, when do you want your sheep to eat? Well, every time I feed them. How would you like your sheep not to eat when you're feeding them? There's something wrong with that sheep. So don't blame me for doing this, folks. This is just normal. It's pretty natural for a shepherd to want this. It's up to you whether you want to eat or not. Can't force feed anybody. Amen? So be careful about the criticizing. I understand there's a lot of things going on out there, and there's some things that our preachers are doing. I say, hey, that's not right, and we need to publicly rebuke that. You know, there's stuff going on today with a certain church in the States and things that they chose to do at a men's conference, and somebody rebuked it, and then they got in this big thing going on there. And folks, that wouldn't have happened if the pastor just would have followed the scripture. Now, I love these people, but I would never tell you to go to that men's conference. Never. But be careful. 1 Corinthians 1:18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It doesn't say to us that will be saved, it's the power of God. It's saying to us that are saved. That means when I'm preaching to you about Christ and salvation and the cross, that empowers you to keep on going even though you're already saved. Because you love it. You love it that the preaching is going forward. And you know, as much as you've been saved and you know you're born again, you know what? It's good to be reminded of what Jesus Christ has done for you. That, my friend, is the power behind your Christian life. Number four, before you can hear preachers, they have to be sent. This is verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? Churches must send preachers into the world. My desire in this church is that preachers are arisen up from this congregation. As much as I want to keep every last one of you till Jesus comes, I would love for you to be called to preach, and we'd love to be able to send you out so you can preach in some area of this world. Maybe it's close, maybe it's far. I don't know, but you better be a God-called man to do it. Yeah. It can't just be an inkling in you. It can't just be a burden that you have. It's got to be something you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is doing in my heart. I can't do anything else, preacher. I can't eat or sleep without thinking about going out and reaching the lost. Preaching the word of God. Charles Spurgeon said to his students, if you can do anything else but preach, he says, go do it. Because if you have that preaching in your bones, like Jeremiah, he said, I tried to stop preaching because nobody listened anyways. In fact, he had his whole ministry where nobody was converted. That's discouraging. It'd be like me being in Airdrie, coming with my family, and after 5 years, there's my family and nobody else. Yep. Well, I just quit. I'm just done. And some preachers can do that. And I say, wow. Jeremiah couldn't do that. Yep. He says, the word is like a fire in my bones. He said, I tried to stop, but I couldn't. That's what you are if you're a God-called preacher. Sometimes you get so discouraged, you say, I just want to resign. I'm out of here. These people don't care. Next day you wake up and say, man, I got to preach. It's in your bones. It's a fire in your bones, and you can't do anything else. And today, I don't know what God is doing in your life, but maybe some of you young men are tomorrow's preachers.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, if that's true, you're not going to be mama called and papa sent.
Amen.
You're going to be God called. You're going to be church sent. You're not going to choose your sending. Well, I'm just going to go do this. The preacher doesn't like it, too bad. I'm sorry, you're going to fall on your face because you're not a true man of God.
Amen.
True man of God will go through his local assembly, and we as a church will begin to see the people that God has gifted. We'll say, hey, there's something special about that young man. There's something going on there. And when it comes and they go through their training and they get ready, we say, yeah, you know, we can go with this guy. We can get behind him because I can see that God's on him. Amen. That's all a part of the process. There's no lone rangers in God's work. Well, I'm just going to go do this anyways. You're not going to please God by doing it. It's not real. You got to have your church behind you. Churches must send preachers into the world. Amen. Mark 16:15, as he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That word sent means to send off. It's like putting them in a boat and just kicking it off the shore and say, here you go. We're propelling you out. You're not propelling yourself. You're being sent. Amen. How can you be sent if you're just going out on your own? Preachers have to be sent. So I hope and I pray that in this congregation, we'll have young men that are called to preach the word of God. And you know what? We'll have young ladies that want to be used by God on the mission field somewhere. That's a success for a local church.
Yeah.
We ought to be willing to empty out these pews so God can fill them up again, so we can keep emptying them out, so we can fill them up again, so we can keep emptying them out. Amen? Isaiah was sent with a message about the coming kingdom. In Isaiah 52:7, it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That was a good message. Amen. Can you imagine that when you're wondering, you know, what hope do we have? The foreigners have invaded our land. They've taken everything. And yet you have a man of God standing up and say, don't worry, folks. Our God reigneth.
Yeah.
Say, oh, that's a good message. Oh, your feet are so beautiful, Isaiah. As ugly as they were beautiful. Amen.
Yeah.
Nahum sent a message with a message of destruction of the enemy. And Nahum 1:15 says, behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off.
Yeah.
He's bringing him to a time where the Son of God will come down and rule from the temple in Jerusalem, and no wicked will be allowed. Even the judgment of the nations, he'll judge them outside of Jerusalem. He says, you're not setting foot in my city. And then he'll separate the sheep from the goats. Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, were sent out by the church at Antioch in Acts 13, verse 1. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Then it goes on to say in verse 2, it says, and they ministered to the Lord and they fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. Amen. That's what we do here. You're not mama called, papa sent. You're God called and church sent. That's how it works. Amen. And we ought to be praying for preachers. And we ought to prepare them and we ought to train them and get them ready to go. Amen. And when the time comes and us as a church, we ought to look at that young man or that young lady, we ought to put our hands on them and says, we're going to send you forth. You're an extension of this body in that area, in that land. And they'll be with them all the way. Amen. So when it speaks of the beautiful feet of the preachers, it's not speaking of their literal feet. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's speaking about the beauty, that the church sends out people with that precious news of salvation. I don't know about you when you first heard that gospel. When someone first told you about salvation, you were in your sin and bondage. Wasn't that a beautiful thing? And I sure hope you look at whoever that was, that witness, that preacher, whoever gave you that gospel, say, I'm so glad I'm glad you walked towards me. That's the feet he's talking about. He's talking about the feet that were willing to go somewhere where they didn't know anybody. Willing to talk to people that they didn't know nothing about. I remember coming to Airdrie with my family. And I knew none of you except those that came later, Paul and Allie. Maybe there's some others, my family I knew. Do you understand that? That's powerful. We didn't know when we came here who was going to come to a church service. We thought, well, and you can ask my family. I said, well, if it's just you and me, and I'm just going to preach at you kids. Because I know what God's called me to do. But it's amazing how the Lord brought people in, you know, because he's doing something here. That's powerful. Oh, I hope you see that. If you don't see that, you're trouble. You're trouble. Don't be trouble. See what God's doing. See his hand. See what the Lord is doing among the people of God. See how he sends them out and he brings the beautiful message to the masses. Amen. Look at what he's done in establishing a church that wasn't here before. Not because of some great powerful entity or organization behind us. Folks, I was just a preacher coming into a strange land. And he could do the same thing with you. Most people, they don't want to pay that price. I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave this. I don't want to leave my job. I don't want to leave my security. Amen. I changed my mindset. I was thinking, I want to be in the safest place possible. And that's in the will of my God. And if I don't do what God's called me to do, then I'm afraid for myself. Because my security isn't in my dollars or in what I own or my family or anything like that. My security is in doing the will of the Lord. Oh, to know that you're doing the will of the Lord, to know that you get up in the morning and you say, you know what, if I make it through this day, it's because the Lord planned it to be so. And if somehow this year I must die and go meet the Lord, then I just know I'm just dying in the will of the Lord. Well, what a great thing to know when you're like that. It's a whole different thing when I've been disobedient to the Lord, not listening to him. And then I get up in the morning and I say, oh, well, maybe this is because I'm not listening to him. Maybe I'm not being blessed because I'm not being obedient. Amen. The Lord blesses the obedient. Still true, by the way. Number 5, the word of God must be before faith. Verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, the word of God. Whew. The Bible, the book. Remember we looked at that on Wednesday night? The book. The book. It's also the scriptures, the written words. But when you say the word of God, boy, that's a special title. There is nothing left to guessing there. We're not talking about the word of man. We're talking about God speaking directly to us. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Be careful today because people are trying to tell you can manifest truth. If you believe it enough, you can manifest it. That's a bunch of lies. There's only one thing that can be manifested, and that is the word of God. Amen. Folks, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's interesting. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That means to have any faith at all, you must hear the words of God. It's no wonder that the devil brought evolution into the picture. What is the problem with evolution? I'll tell you what it is. It removes the Word of God. That's the only thing. That is the only problem. Now, I know it's lies, but folks, if it'd be the Word of God, it wouldn't be a problem. But the problem is, it was the Word of God, and the devil knew if they believe that God framed these world by His words, they'll also have the faith to believe when He sent His Son to die for their sins. So evolution, right at the start, removes the Word of God. That's the biggest problem with evolution. So now I have faith, but not faith in God's Word. They call it, I believe in science. Well, the scriptures talk about science falsely so called. I don't believe there is any science in evolution at all, folks. There isn't. And I know you got these guys, theistic evolutionists, they're crazy too. Folks, it was 24-hour days. It was 6 days out of a week. God created the world. On the seventh day, He rested. And when He created the world, the Bible says, and He said, let there be light. Everything He did was by the Word of God. That's where my faith is. 2 Timothy 3:15. It says that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You need the scriptures. Your children need the Word of God. Amen. There's no name it and claim it today. Well, you just name it and claim it. That is the biggest lie that people have been telling you. Name it and claim it is pulling out the Word of God. Just like evolution. Folks, if you want God to answer your prayer, you pray in the will of God. You pray according to the Word of God. You know what you do? You go to the Bible and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And you start with the general. Well, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So you know what? You are out of the will of God if you're not thankful. It's that simple. Well, I am thankful about everything. In everything. Well, since I've been saved, no. In everything isn't talking about present to the future. In everything is talking past, present, future. What's happened to you when you grew up? Well, I don't go there. So you're not thankful in it. Well, how could you be? I'll tell you how you could. By knowing, in spite of the wickedness of this world and the bad things that happened, in the middle of it, there was God. Whether you saw Him or not, He was there. He protected you. It would have been worse. He helped you some way. You've got to somehow thank Him in that situation. And if you don't, you're out of the will of God. Wow. That's why when I talk to preachers, I say, I'm going to go out and preach. I say, have you dealt with your life? Tell me about your life. Well, I don't like going there. And we're all emotional about it. Well, then you deal with that first before we send you out. Because I want you in the will of God. That's general. That's general. I'm not saying you're thankful for what bad people did to you. But the Bible says, in everything. Say, why is that important to God? Because if you're not going to be thankful to Him in those situations, you're not giving Him glory in those situations. There's a part of your life you're rejecting God's influence in. You know, my life when I grew up in the home that I had and the situations I went through, I could have very easily just become bitter and angry and never would have been behind this pulpit. But you know what I've chosen to do? I've chosen to thank God in it. You'd say, oh, would you change it if I could? Well, the thing is this, you can't change what's in the past. But I can say you this, that whatever happened, God allowed it. And whatever happened to me made me what I am today. Coupled with faith. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. You see, how can I ever preach that verse to anybody if I can't give God thanks in my life? Preachers, God's calling you to preach. There's got to be some things you got to preach. In fact, the whole counsel of God, there can't be one verse that you hold back and say, except for this one. So I need to be in the will of God. You're wondering why God isn't calling me to be a Sunday school teacher. Why isn't he calling me to be an influence over people? Why isn't he using me in that way? Maybe he's waiting for you to deal with yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Is there some messages you could not preach because you've not dealt with it? It's people with bitterness. There's preachers that I've seen with bitterness in their life. How are you ever going to preach to anybody? I mean, 99 out of the 100 topics if you got bitterness in your heart.
Yeah.
Folks, the whole foundation of our Christian service is forgiveness.
Amen.
Yet we're delivered to the tormentors. There's a constant attack on God's word. We know that in the day and age in which we live. Folks, if you are going to hold up the scriptures and talk about the scriptures and live the scriptures, you will be attacked by this world. And if you're trying to circumvent the attacks, you'll have to circumvent the word of God. 2 Peter 3:3, it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. There is a global deception about the flood of Noah, that folks, people have museums, and you're looking at the very evidence of the flood, and they'll say it's totally something else. We got to pull the word of God out of here. It says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know what really gets me today? People are crying this climate change stuff. They're saying in 12 years, we're all dead if we don't do this, that, or the other. Folks, there are some very real things that God has shown us in his word that are far more of a reality than anything that they will tell you on the news. And if there's something you want to shake in your boots about, you just read the word of God.
Yeah.
I remember one time in Kenora, we had a person writing an editorial that was saying, we should just let people smoke and do drugs, and that'll take care of our overpopulation problem. I thought, man, is that morbid. So me as a young preacher, overzealous, had to respond to this. First, I dealt with the fact of overpopulation and said everybody could, if we'd stand in 1 square meter of space, we could all fit in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
All the people in the world. So that whole thing just boof. The Lord's not concerned about overpopulation. And then I started writing about the flood. I said, our concern should not be overpopulation. Our concern should be righteousness. Because if we're not righteous, overpopulation will be the least of our worries. And you know what? That's how he has to deal with this world. The Bible says with a fervent heat, he's going to melt this thing. It's because of wickedness and sin.
Yes.
It's what he did with Noah. It's what he's going to do at the end of the age, at the millennial kingdom. Start anew. Wipe it clean, you know. And they're crying about 12 years, which is a lie, by the way. It's a lie. I'll say it. Folks, you need the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you've got the word of God, you need the preaching. If you've got the preaching, you'll hear. If you hear, you'll believe. If you believe, you'll call. Amen?
Yeah.
So what's involved in that call? There's a lot involved. And it may come down to one of you guys. There's some people out there that they're not calling. They're calling because they got nothing to believe, because they haven't heard anything. They haven't heard because there's no preacher. There's no preacher because there's no church to send them. All it does is come back to the Word of God and say, what did he say? Let's get back to that. And then we'll start sending out the preachers. They'll start preaching. People start hearing. The hearers will believe and the believers will call. And the whole thing will just keep on rolling till Jesus comes. Amen. That's what we want. That's the development of faith. Let's bow our heads. I don't know how the Lord has spoken to you in this message, but I want you to have an opportunity to make a decision. Perhaps you're here today, you don't know Christ as your Savior. That is your first step. You can't deal with your life, you can't deal with your past, you can't deal with your present, you can't deal with your future until you make sure you've received Jesus as your Savior. I'm not asking if you've been to church, if you've been religious. I'm not even asking if you've prayed a prayer or you've done some religious things. I'm asking if you in your heart have come to that place at one point in your life where you understood that Christ is your only hope. And you've